This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
On this radio station that we're all ready to fire Jeremy Pruitt a couple weeks ago.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I heard the way you guys were all acting. Talking about my coach.
He lost to Georgia State. What do you expect?
A chance for improvement. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. In this situation, Jeremy Pruitt is just a 40-something-year-old bald baby. And the bathwater would be the Georgia State game.
Airing every day
from noon to 3.
Do babies even need baths? They don't work. They won't get jobs. Really, when you think about it, babies are a lot like the homeless. Just drinking milk and not getting jobs.
On 1340 WKGN.
We have grown here today on Talk Sports. Only 45 minutes in, just because I said Pruitt's a big baby, a big bald baby, that you guys wanted to throw out with the bathwater and fire him and said he was a moron that couldn't coach.
I wanted to put him in the microwave after Georgia State.
Hour two in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven, what do you have for us?
This Aaron Rodgers drama, Cam, it just keeps on expanding, keeps on going. My goodness, there's now new reports, Chuck, that the Packers looking for a quarterback, looking for a veteran quarterback to add for OTAs and training camp, which, of course, indicates that Aaron Rodgers may not stick around in old Lambeau Field. Chuck, what do you make of this?
I don't know, man. I mean, you just got to get an insurance policy. Even if you think you're going to keep him around, there's a chance that he retires or whatever
else.
This is over.
He's gone. It's over.
I mean, it's also the fact that only Jordan Love's on the roster right now, so they need more bodies.
That also proves another point. Jordan Love must not be good at all.
Like you just need two teams.
We're not doing that. We're not going to make an excuse for Jordan Love. He was a first round pick. He was a first round pick. What, 2 years ago? Or I guess technically.
I'm not saying he's good or bad. I'm saying when you're practicing, you need a first and second team offense.
All I'm saying,
if you don't have a second quarterback, you can't have a second team offense. Again, they just need somebody in the building. Jordan Love could be the greatest quarterback of all time, and you'd still need a backup to, you know, run the backup stuff.
Teams take three quarterbacks into camp.
I get that, but usually minimum three.
I mean, it makes sense they're shopping.
But you're telling me that this doesn't indicate Aaron Rodgers is out, and this also doesn't indicate that Jordan Love stinks? Like, come on.
It indicates that he's not going to be there immediately.
I jump to either of those extremes.
I think this...
It just means he's not going to be there right away.
Veteran quarterback, you want two 35-year-old quarterbacks out there? What are we talking about? Well, do you need a solidified backup for Aaron Rodgers? Like, yeah, I get it. A backup plan. But usually, when you need a backup plan, it's because the first plan sucks. It's because the plan's not going to work out, which is of keeping Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to work out.
You always need backup plans.
They got to get somebody just in case.
You got to have an insurance policy.
Like, if he holds out, say he, like, holds out 5 weeks and ends up coming back, you would still need somebody to back up Jordan Love or somebody that, if you don't trust Jordan Love after, like, a game, that you could be like, all right, this veteran has some experience. We could throw him in. He'd be all right. It's not necessarily, like, dead set, meaning Aaron Rodgers is gone. I'm leaning that he's leaving. I don't think he's very stubborn. I think it's going to be very tough to get him off of his stump here unless, you know, you make the changes that he wants to see. But, at the same time, you just got to – if you still think you can bring him in, you still need to, you know, have a contingency plan / have the bodies for training camp to where you can actually, you know, do your stuff. But I don't think it necessarily, like, clear-cut means one or the other direction. But – You gotta have bodies. You gotta have bodies out there.
I think Jordan Love stinks. I think that's what's going on here. Spent a first-round pick on him, man. Like, and you know what's crazy? I was actually listening to a podcast talking about this the other day, Cam, and I thought it was interesting. They brought up the point. They said, like, why are they – like, they knew this was coming. That's why they drafted Jordan Love. They knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be done at some point. They knew it was going to – this relationship was going to end. Why are they so hesitant to pull the trigger on a plan that they have had in place? It's a good point. Maybe Jordan Love's just not good.
I mean, I think you also still, like, you see, like, how well Aaron Rodgers played last year, and you're like, we want that guy back. Like, we would like that guy back on the roster. Like, Jordan Love could be good, but also he hasn't won an MVP in the league. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers still had that and was still playing at a high level. So you're like, if we can get him back and we still think he's in the Super Bowl window, you want that guy back in the locker room. So they're going to do everything they can to keep him, but It is, yeah, one of those things where it's a tough spot for sure for them. They're in a weird place right now.
Absolutely. Getting away from sports for a second, I gotta read this headline for you guys. Bill Gates. So we've had a lot of interesting stuff coming out with Bill Gates coming out of the his divorce kind of going on right now, not getting the prenup, all that, could be losing some money, yada yada yada. Another kind of crazy rumor report coming out with Bill Gates is he actually had a deal. Did you guys see this with his now ex-wife that he would marry her if he was allowed to take one beach vacation a year with his ex-girlfriend? One beach vacation a year with his ex-girlfriend. I'm assuming that she was down.
That's
the best
deal of all time.
I mean,
you're telling me
married.
I get all your
so...
money, and for a weekend, I also get some alone time while you go fiddle around with your ex. Cool. Give me your money.
How about Bill Gates,
money
man?
Money talks, man.
What a baller.
Money talks.
Yeah, I was about to say. Everybody kind of thinks of him
as just like, yeah, sure, why not?
Apparently. I mean.
Yeah, money's powerful, man.
I'll be whatever Bill Gates wants me to do, be for half of his money.
What about that, though? One vacation trip. Basically, just
one hall pass a year.
Yeah, 1 week where you or just get to do whatever you want with your ex-girlfriend. I'm surprised. What about the ex-girlfriend being down for this?
I'm sure it's all expense paid.
Of course.
You
absolutely.
It's like, aside from his money, you think he's charming or like fun to be around or like romantic,
not.
Attractive?
Probably not. Most people like that aren't. But money, man. Money is.
Money talks, Chuck.
Money
talks.
Makes.
Does he?
I think so.
Money makes it very easy
to do
a lot of things.
It's very crazy how that works, huh? But yeah, Bill Gates.
Money doesn't buy happiness.
Bill Gates finessing his ex-wife. How crazy. One beach trip vacation. And again, it's crazy because they end up getting married.
I would rather cry and be able to wipe my eyes with $100 bills.
Yeah, you ever seen someone frowning on a jet ski? I don't think so. Yeah, exactly. You're telling me money doesn't buy happiness?
That's a good point.
Money definitely buys happiness.
It's a sad but good point. Want to throw that out there real quick, though. But going back to the NFL, we had a center get paid. The Lions center, Frank Ragno, agrees to a 4-year, $54 million extension, making him the highest paid center in the NFL. Lions reworking that offensive line a little bit. Of course, drafted Sewell this past first round. So, yep. Dan Campbell eating kneecaps and building an offensive line, Chuck. Not too bad.
Frank Ragnow broke his neck last year.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, his throat. He fractured his throat.
That was it. Yeah, he fractured his throat.
And he played.
He did.
Give that man all the money.
That is crazy. Speaking of the Lions, though, they also released Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon. Cam?
Yeah.
Falcons need a running back. You would take a risk on old Kerryon?
Yeah, you can get him
young.
Cheap. Yeah. You can get him cheap.
He wasn't terrible in Detroit.
He wasn't terrible. He had bad injury history. Right. was the big thing there. I'd take a flyer.
Adrian Peterson kept getting the carries over both of them.
They signed Jamal Williams this offseason as well, so he was kind of the odd man out. I don't think we necessarily need him to an extent, but I would not be mad if they took a flyer on him and brought him in just for the bodies and the possibility of him being solid. But yeah, I'm sure somebody will pick him up. I mean, like you said, he's still relatively young, just had bad injury history. If he can stay healthy somewhere, he could be a decent enough, maybe even just a return contributor, but something. Some team could get some value out of him.
Absolutely. Hayden, what did you think of the White Sox manager, Tony La Russa, basically admitting that he did not know the extra innings rule? This is going to be some of the funniest stuff. Yeah, he basically said he did not fully understand the extra inning rule that would allow him to avoid using closer Liam Hendricks as a base runner against the Reds on Wednesday. How big of a, just embarrassment is this for him?
I mean, this whole experiment for the White Sox is kind of just going bad with La Russa being there. I mean,
it was such a bad hire.
I don't know why
they
did that.
Then he got a DUI, and then now he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
It was like in January, February, right? The DUI?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's right before the season started or spring training started. But either way, he's like 70-something years old, and it's just such a bad mix between him and then – probably like one of the has the youngest core in the league, most up and coming team, and you're pairing him with like a manager who hasn't been in the game for like 10 years, it just kind of, like, literally it makes zero sense.
And then you have situations like this.
Hurt, so.
Yeah, and you have situations like this also happen where he doesn't know. Is it staying updated with the rules? Bad luck. Oof, bad luck.
I mean, kind of understand that because he wasn't a manager last year, and
still, you got to kind of keep up with what's going on, right?
I mean, would hope
maybe
so.
Maybe if this was like the first game of the year, like, oh, I don't think I understood this rule for, you know, all the way, not the 28th.
I mean, that is true.
A month and a half into the season, brother. Come on now.
Was that their first? I guess that was their first extra innings game they played. I don't know. I don't keep up with the White Sox, but
tough scene.
It is weird, though, that they brought him in, though, and immediately two of their youngest players get hurt. It's
kind of giving up a little bit.
I mean, yeah, they fired.
I mean, legitimately, two of their youngest players are, like, out for most of the season with Jimenez and Robert now.
Robert
now.
Yeah. But, yeah, that hire never made sense. They fired their coach, and they're like, all right, we need someone that can, you know, rally these young guys, relate to these young players, and in a modern game of baseball. Oh, okay. 78-year-old retired coach. I just forgot his name.
Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I don't know why I just forgot his name. But anyway, yeah, Tony La Russa. Just, it was a bad hire.
All right.
And wasn't there something about him being, I don't want to say if it's not true, like kind of, like, racist?
I didn't see anything about that.
Or I don't know about that or not. I think there was something about that just because, like, and now he's going to, like, one of the most, like, one of the teams with, like, the most black players on the team.
I do remember something
like
that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Rocky.
People were like, yeah, he's coming into a team of, like, yeah, this.
It was, like, most of
the black
players.
I do remember that thing. Oh, man, what was that?
I can't remember what the story was, but.
Yeah, no, I do remember that being a top of conversation. Yeah, you just Google it. Everybody's just like, this is the wrong hire.
Yeah.
Terrible mistake.
That's like everything that's popping up. DUIRS, bad hire.
Yeah.
Funny jokes, but people are just cracking.
He wasn't
jokes.
Racist. He just criticized anthem protests.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right. Either way. Moving on to the NBA now. Kyrie Irving. I don't know if you guys saw, he got fined $35,000, and the team did as well, the Brooklyn Nets, for violating the NBA's media access rules. I guess he was refusing to participate in post-game media, wanting to do his own thing after the game. You guys think this is a little harsh on these players, having to do these post-games after every single
their
game?
Their personalities, too. They're athletes, but they're also, you know, personalities and public figures almost to an extent. So it's basically in their, like, contract that they're supposed to do
right,
this kind of
and
stuff.
I get that, but it's just like, man, I don't
and,
know.
You know, they've told him he's had to go to these, and, like, he said at the beginning of the year, like, I don't know if you remember, but he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do, like, this kind of stuff as much. I mean, I think he got fined earlier in the year for kind of doing the same stuff. But, yeah, I mean, they keep telling him, and so, you know, like, either get out there or don't, so.
It says he has declined on several occasions to be available in a news conference. He most recently declined requests, including from ESPN, to speak to reporters after the Nets loss to the Bucks on Tuesday night. So maybe a little upset after the loss. I don't know. I think it's fair, Chuck, to criticize these players, have them go up on the post game, have to answer all these questions after a tough loss.
Yeah, I think it is fair to criticize them because, again, it is part of their job. And
35,000.
Without them, it makes, I mean, them doing that makes others' jobs possible. Like us, we're the media. Like, we
I get
be
that.
Pro players following up.
I don't know, Kyrie, always showing. You know, basketball is not always the most important thing. I'm kind of with Kyrie on this one. I have to go to every single post game, like every single one.
Oh, you poor thing! You make $28 million a year, and you have to play a sport and then answer 5 minutes of questions after? Oh, my goodness.
It's like, what do we want Kyrie talking anyway? He doesn't give any quotes. He barely talks to the media anyways when he's out there. It's like, what's the point? It's like the Marshawn Lynch situation.
Really good interview, too. Yeah. And then, I don't know, he just got all weird.
He kind of hates the media now. Kind of turned on the media.
I don't know what he likes. Does he even like basketball?
No.
Does he like people? He doesn't. Does he like food?
It's also like the Marshawn Lynch situation. It's like, why force that guy to go up there and say, I'm just up here so I won't get fined? It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Okay, well, no, that was awesome.
I mean, it's funny. That was awesome. It's funny, but like, is that helping? Like, is that what you want? No.
It's like, a story.
I guess. I just think it's a little ridiculous. We force these players to have to go up there just so they can half-ass answer these questions.
We're not forcing them. We're paying them. They are paid a lot and a lot and a lot of money.
They're employees.
Poor them having to do a minor inconvenience.
So anti-player, Chuck.
No, I'm just pro-business.
Pro-business.
Any other headlines?
Nah.
All right. Well, we'll catch a break here. Come back on the other side. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right. We don't normally talk a ton of hockey, but we got to talk about what was going down the past couple days between the Rangers and the Capitals. It really got nuts yesterday after, I guess a little backstory here is, I guess it was the Capitals had a guy basically seriously injure one of the Rangers, players in a fight, just a couple dirty hits.
I was gonna say, dirty hits, ground, shot to the back of the head.
Yeah, like, he also, the ground. Yeah.
He slammed it to the ground. The guy didn't even have a helmet on, which was also kind of a little bit of a hazard. Yeah.
Ice is not soft.
Hell no. I could imagine, could really crack a noggin, man. And also, like you said, the shots to the back of the head, that's what was really dirty when the guy was already pretty much on the ground, defenseless at that point.
And he ended up having a season-ending, I think it was a lower body injury. I can't remember exactly what it was, but... so he's ended up out for the rest of the year, stuff like that. Evan, so they were also mad because the NHL, all they did was just give out a little fine.
Yeah, no Tom Wilson was the defender who should have got more penalized. He was the guy that kind of had the dirty play. And yeah, basically they wrote in like a large statement, the Rangers did, that they believe George Parros is the name, the NHL's head of safety, is unfit to continue his current role. And, literally 2 days later, or a day or two later, John Davidson, the general manager, and Jeff Gorton also, or I guess President John Davidson, general manager Jeff Gorton, got fired from the Rangers after they released that statement.
Yeah,
so,
you were kind of talking about that. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I guess... Maybe it was because of the statement. I don't know.
James Dolan, who owns the Rangers, I mean, he said it wasn't anything related to the statement, but of course, when you have it, you fire him 2 days after you release that or a day after you release that, you're going to assume that it had something to do with that. But he based it off of just them underachieving, which I was
like, weird timing, though. Super weird timing.
I was about to say, because honestly. I was listening to a hockey reporter who's kind of talking about it. He said, I mean, the Rangers were kind of in a rebuild already.
Yep.
Like, they weren't expected to be a very good team. And he said they actually were kind of a little, like, not terrible.
They faded pretty hard at the end of the year.
Okay.
I thought personally that they had a roster that was built to be able to make the playoffs this year. But they were also in such a tough division that, you know, I don't think it's fair to say they underperformed by any means. By any means. They met expectations and then some.
So right. That was
everything
the...
seems very weird with that firing.
Yeah, it was very strange. But so basically, after all this, they had a rematch game yesterday. And they just got right to it.
That was so awesome, man.
More about hockey, man.
Right at the beginning,
they just started. Knew that they were fighting. Yeah. I mean,
they just dropped their gloves and started going at it.
As soon as the puck dropped.
We had a lion brawl the second the puck dropped, except the defenseman didn't get in on it, which was annoying.
Yeah. But there was like five fights in the first 4 minutes of this game when Wilson ended up on the ice, like basically 40 seconds
they
into
got
the game.
They jumped right at him. They jumped
went right at that guy, which, I mean... Hey, standing up for your teammate. I don't hate it. I love it.
I love, like, a little bit later in the game, it's just a face-off, like 4 minutes later, and like... They have a face-off. They're about to drop the puck. The two guys start fighting. They have another face-off afterwards, about to drop the puck. He drops the puck. The guy just takes the stick, flips the puck out of the way, drops his gloves. Yeah. It was like game on again.
They were like, we're not even here to play hockey.
This is awesome. Maybe one of the biggest sports troll moments that we've seen in a long time by a whole team. Like, have we ever seen a whole team troll, like a whole organization? Like, the NHL's getting trolled by the Rangers. Like, they were literally saying, okay, you don't want to do anything about the safety guy, about him not protecting us? You don't want to do anything about that? Okay, then we're going to have how many fights you say?
That would have happened regardless of whether they suspended him or not.
You think so?
Yeah, no, that's just how hockey works.
This. Time out,
No, yes, like this. Line brawls happen.
Where it's just three fights as soon as the puck drops, just constant?
Yes.
I haven't seen anything like this in a long time.
Go look at any of the Canadian rivalries. If there is an incident towards the end of a game when they play each other the next time, there will be a line brawl. That is always how it works. That is not super uncommon.
Yeah, but if if he's suspended, they're not all going after him when he hits the ice because he's not on the thing. It wouldn't have been to this extent, I don't think. Six fights first 254 seconds.
I think there's a decent, pretty good chance.
Because of the dirty play. So you're not thinking it has anything to do with the NHL not penalizing it or anything?
Because
obviously they were pissed about that, the whole statement coming out and everything. I mean, you don't think that had anything to factor in?
I do not.
It definitely did. They had lots of quotes after the thing where they're like, we felt we needed to take it into our own hands since the NHL didn't want to step up and do anything. It was them, it was a little bit of a revenge factor for sure. And being upset at the NHL for, what they did. But, six fights in the first 254 seconds.
Hey, not to be missed in that game, by the way. TJ Oshie first came back since his father
passed away,
and he ended up getting the hat trick in a really special moment, man. He was crying.
When he went back to the bench. It
got my eyes a little sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good moment. Lots of people ended up on the bench because I think at one point there was like six people in the penalty box or something. Like, it was nuts after, how much stuff was going on early in that game. It was basically, they just kind of like, I've read a couple articles and they're basically just talking about how it was just a pretty whirlwind, couple days for them, the firings, Wilson getting injured, or, Wilson incident, playoff elimination, the no suspension, all that just kind of, hit at once. So it was just a crazy day for them, and it turned into a crazy day on the ice as well.
I will say the one theme that we can take away from all of this is James Dolan. Like, what is he doing? Like, has James Dolan, I guess the Knicks are good now, which is a positive, but I just kind of reading about some of this stuff, he's kind of taking some heat a little bit for the firings and just the handling of the whole situation. Yeah. Just, I don't know. I feel like there's the common denominator.
They don't love Dolan up there in New York, so.
Yeah.
Well, then Pavel Bavunovich last night also in that game hit someone with a nasty cross check straight to the face, and now he'll probably get suspended for that as well as fine.
Player for the Rangers, I'm assuming? Okay.
Which is hilarious that Tom Wilson didn't get fined and then he does that in retaliation.
I think Wilson did get fined.
No, I meant to say suspended.
Suspended, okay.
And he probably will get suspended by player safety.
Right. The Rangers also got fined $250,000 for calling out the guy for the NHL. $5,000,
which that's part of the CBA. You can't fine a player more than $5,000 in hockey. But
gotcha.
$5,000 for the hit, $250,000 for complaining.
Yeah, that's nuts. But crazy night on the ice last night.
You can't tell me that happens all the time. The fighting from the get go. I've never seen that before.
I don't watch a lot of hockey, but. I said more than you think when there's an incident that occurs like that.
Okay.
But yeah, wild stuff there. We'll see if, I guess they don't really, I don't think they play again this season, obviously, but we'll see if it ends up developing and anything down the line, stuff like that, what can happen there. But yeah, just crazy developments in hockey there. But.
Just awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. I was about it. I thought it was pretty wild to watch. That is one of the fun things about hockey.
My question is though, Chuck, you're the hockey expert here. Like, what happens when you get all these guys just in the penalty box? Like, there was at times where there's six, seven guys in the penalty box at a time.
Get really tired.
So it's just you basically. Don't have subs.
I mean, you don't have subs. You just have less. So, guys will be playing multiple shifts with different lines to make up for it or stuff like that. I mean, they'll just be tired. They'll get more time on ice. But
yeah.
It is what it is.
But yeah, crazy situation there. Wild stuff all around. But we'll catch a break. Probably switch gears a little bit on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, we're talking about how the hockey teams were taking out their aggression last night. You can take out your aggression by going to Craft Axe Throwing and using promo code FANRUN to get 15% off your booking either online or in person. You can go online to craftaxethrowing.com. They'll take care of you there. FANRUN, that promo code gets you 15% off. Take the boys. Take your girl. Take the girls and the boys. Take everybody. Go throw some axes. If you're a little angry, nothing gets the anger out like throwing an axe at a target. It gets it out. It's one way to just easily, you know, take out some of that aggression so you don't end up in a hockey fight right off the rip of your game. Go throw some axes instead and use promo code FANRUN to get 15% off your order online or in person. I think we're going to switch gears a little bit here and talk a little association.
Hey-o. Go
ahead,
Cam.
Are you amazed I made this long without mentioning it?
Go ahead. Have your moment.
Are you amazed I made this long?
I'm a little surprised. I kind of thought opening up, you know, bringing that up first hour.
I didn't want us to do it. Start off the show with it, even though it is the big news. But especially after, I'm pretty sure you guys are talking about how the West is so much better than the East. casually, of course, the best team in the NBA record-wise walks into Atlanta. And, they walk out with a 32-point loss is what they do as the Atlanta Hawks smoked the Phoenix Suns. Smoked them. The Suns had nothing for the Hawks. What did y'all think about the game? It was just glorious. It was glorious to watch. They had nothing for us. They could not do anything.
I was surprised. I checked the box score. I was like, okay, Chris Paul, Devin Booker probably resting up, maybe even sitting down. You know, I saw they actually played.
Nope.
Played pretty much the, you know, majority of the game.
Yep.
This is the first I'm hearing about this.
Well, the Hawks won by 32 points against the Phoenix Suns last night.
Pretty neat. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe you guys will make it to the second round.
No, we will.
These changes his tone a little bit. And weren't you about to board bet a first round loss?
Did, so.
So you're locked in.
We're coming for the Knicks. We're a half game back now. They have a tough schedule. We have an easy schedule. We're getting that fourth seed, baby. We're coming. So not concerned there on that aspect. The Hawks are rolling. The Hawks aren't even we're still about to get DeAndre Hunter back, too.
Does this take away from the Suns any? I don't want to take away from the Hawks.
I
this
think
was
it definitely
win, but
eliminates Chris Paul's MVP.
He was rough last night, wasn't
Kansas
he? A plus minus, a minus 26. Oof!
Yeah.
They
were getting smoked, man. And what was wild, too, was it wasn't even like our starters were, you know, dominating the Suns a ton. Like, they were pretty even most of the time with our starters on the floor. But our bench just came in and would body their bench, body their starters. The Hawks starters didn't even come back into the game. I think they came out with about 3 minutes left in the third. Didn't touch the floor again. And we only had a 9-point lead at the end of the third, but our bench was like, you know what? We got it from here. Ended up putting in third stringers, man. We were putting in two-way players. We had two-way players catching alley-oops on the Suns in the fourth quarter. We were clowning them.
You guys outscored them by 30 in the second half.
Yep.
30.
Yep. Smoked them. Only had a 1-point lead at halftime, and
blowout.
Took it over, man. It was not even close. Almost everybody that got in the game scored a point for the Hawks, and that was about – I think there were about 16 guys. I think it was something nuts like that.
And speaking of depth, I agree. I think the Hawks, pretty good depth, a little underrated depth. The Suns, on the other hand, am I wrong in saying
that? That was the issue, yeah. Their bench was not great.
That's the concern, right? It's kind of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and
waiting.
I mean, who's their third guy?
They got a decent starting lineup. Torrey Craig's the weak link there a little bit. But, yeah, off the bench, they have Cameron Payne, which I think people forget's even still in the league.
Yeah.
As their backup point guard, Frank Kaminsky, Javon Carter.
I mean, I guess you got Jay Crowder.
Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank. Yeah, that's
Jake Riley didn't even play yesterday.
Torrey Craig, yeah.
You got Sark, you got Cam Johnson, their first round pick from a couple years ago. They're not a deep team, and I think that's going to be the issue they run into in the playoffs.
And we've said this before, like a big reason I think why they've been so successful is they've stayed relatively healthy like all year. I mean, I guess what? I mean, Chris Paul has pretty much played all year, right? I don't think he's really missed any games. I don't think Booker's missed
much.
If you get
a game where he goes 3 of 11 from the field and, like you said, a minus 26 plus minus, now you're not going to win many games doing that, especially with Devin Booker's your only other guy. And he was solid enough. He had his 30 points, stuff like that, but nothing too spectacular for the Suns. There wasn't just no other help there. It was him, Bridges. Had enough scoring to keep them afloat for a while, but yeah, no, they did not have the depth to keep up with the Hawks, and the Hawks ran them off the floor last night. Huge game for them, coming for that four seed.
Money's been pouring in on the Hawks lately in Vegas.
I believe it.
Someone placed $20,000 on the Hawks to win the East and another $20,000 on them to win the NBA championship to pay out.
I love it. I love it.
A grand total of like $2.6
million. I love it. They are, I mean, it's the depth of the roster. Like, I think, like, with Draymond, like, you kind of saw that yesterday. It's nuts. And, like, that's why we've been able to stay afloat despite the injuries. They've had tons of injuries, but they've still been, you know, solid. They are now 23-10 under Nate McMillan. Like, he is rocking and rolling, and that's with some big wins, like against the Bucks, the Suns, stuff like that. DeAndre Hunter's not even back yet. Like, he's going to get back in the lineup. Great defender and can score the ball. Just another factor there for sure.
Oh, my God. You guys had 15 players play last
night? Yeah. Just rolled everybody in. We said, all right, like, okay, starters, you can sit down. We had two different setups of lineups coming in the fourth quarter because we were just chilling. We were like, this guy hasn't played in 3 months, but hey, get off the court. We're up by 27. So it was a fun game from the Hawks' perspective. Suns, you got to be a little concerned heading into playoffs a little bit. I think that was probably a little eye-opening experience a little bit. But going elsewhere around the league, Celtics crushed the Magic.
No
not
surprise.
A contest there. Trailblazers crushed your Cavs. Was not close there at all either. Beat them by about 30-something as well. Lots of blowouts yesterday.
Yeah. The one good game, though, Wizards-Bucks. What a crazy game
was
that
a good
was.
One.
Yeah.
A wild ending.
Yeah,
yeah, the ending was nuts. Wizards looked like they had almost stole the ball back to get possession with a few seconds left down one. End up having a guy, he stepped on the out-of-bound lines trying to save the ball. Yeah, questionable a little
questionable.
Bit.
Questionable.
He stepped out of bounds.
But he was on the edge line. They called him out trying to save the ball. Bucks end up getting the ball back. So we just got another steal, but they had to settle for a half-court shot at that point, and it bounced off the rim to give the Bucks the one-point win in a high-scoring game there. Russell Westbrook continues to just put up his numbers with 29, 12, and 17.
Jeez.
Him and Bradley Beal, who dropped 42 points. And the funny thing is the Wizards always lose when Bradley Beal scores 40.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I wonder why. These guys do not play a lick of defense.
Oh, they don't.
I was watching the fourth quarter. Like, they kept Bradley Beal would hit some ridiculous three, or Russell Westbrook would be driving in the lane with a beautiful pass or a tough finish, and you're like, hey, here we go. Here's a run. It's just like they'd give up a wide-open three on the other end, or a wide-open layup, or just it's just like, come on.
Yeah, they let Drew Holiday drop 29 on them last night. DiVincenzo with 19. Pat Connaughton with 16. Yeah, they don't play a lot of defense. That's always been surprising me from Russell Westbrook that he's not a better defender with his athleticism and stuff like that.
As much as he's like around the rim getting rebounds and stuff.
I think he focuses a little bit more on that than the defensive aspect.
Maybe.
But, so that was easily the best game of the night. Sixers beat the Rockets down. Kings beat the Pacers.
Kings, by the way, that West
I would say,
final playoff spot, the Spurs.
Right,
Spurs have lost, what, 5 in a row, I want to say? I want to say they've lost 5 in a row sitting in the 10th seed.
They may be running out of time, you know, with the season winding down because
the
they
are
still 2.5 games back.
With what? How many? We got 5 games left?
Yeah, pretty close to that. So it's going to be a tough stretch for them to get there. New Orleans is a little closer, but they haven't been great either.
No.
The Kings late surge trying to get there. Don't think they're going to have quite enough juice.
That's just so Sacramento Kings. I feel like they do this every year.
It's
like a good team that you think maybe can make a run, and then they start out horrible, and then they start to make a run at the end, and then it's too late. And then they're out of the playoffs once again.
Yep.
It's like the same thing every year.
Speaking of the Spurs, they got crushed by the Jazz last night. Grizzlies, pretty good game there with them and the Timberwolves. They ended up surviving 42 points from Anthony Edwards.
Listen, man, Anthony Edwards is a stud.
He's a stud. Really good, right? 8 of 9 from the three-point line, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Anthony Edwards was going off. His step back has become very cold. He looks good out there, man. But Ja Morant answered him pretty much with 37 and 10 assists.
I was about to say, that whole top five point guard talk, I guess he kind of backed it up a little bit with a pretty nice performance last night.
Yeah, having his team struggle with the Timberwolves for sure. Yeah, that's it. It's tough on him for sure when Trae Young can just sit out the whole fourth quarter. Oof, love to see it. But no, yeah, great game from Ja. He balled out. You know, he went shot for shot almost with Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards only on 22 shots, so dropping 42. That's efficiency right there. It was, you know, the Timberwolves bench just couldn't hang with anybody else there. Towns, Edwards, and Russell were trying to carry them afloat. But, yeah, Ja Morant did enough, and the Grizzlies bench did what they needed to do to get the win in that game. They're obviously, you know, trying to hold on to that 8th spot in the West and, you know, stay in a good situation going into this playing game because they don't have enough juice to get up to the 6th spot where the Lakers are sitting now.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys real quick, though, like, who's your favorite in the West? I feel like the East, it's got to be the Nets. Like, I mean, James Harden, once he gets back, their full strength, it's going to be tough to beat them. But, like, the West, like, do you buy the Lakers, who are struggling? LeBron's hurt. They're a 6 seed. Do you trust the Clippers, who are obviously kind of been a disappointing team, really disappointing playoff run last year? I don't really trust the Jazz. I don't really trust the Suns. Nuggets don't have Jamal Murray. The West feels
it's really open, man.
Yeah,
yeah,
really open right now.
Like, I don't think Dallas, Portland, or whoever gets it in off the playing game have a shot to obviously, like, win the West.
I think the Lakers are probably the clear-cut favorite.
Still, you still give it to the LA.
If they get healthy,
until proven otherwise.
If they get healthy, that first round matchup could be rough, though. I mean, like, Denver's a pretty solid team.
That's what I'm saying.
Anthony Davis does probably neutralize Jokic as much as, you know, most people can out there. No Jamal Murray, obviously, but Denver can put up points if the Lakers don't get any production from their, you know, supporting cast and LeBron still struggles a little bit. It's a very winnable series for Denver, I feel
like. I
think
you could almost say the same thing for the Nuggets. Like, you take away Jokic and
who's
creating offense for them?
So, Porter Jr. would be out there. He's been getting buckets pretty well, stuff like that. But, yeah, no, they could use some more people out there as well, and they do rely a lot on their supporting cast. But that's what's so great about Jokic is he's so good at getting everybody else involved from that center position. Utah, I feel slightly better about than Phoenix, but, like, I still don't feel great there either.
Why do you like Utah, Chuck? Just defense. They're a good defensive team.
They're just a good team in general. Yeah. I mean, they just find ways to win. Donovan Mitchell's a good player, and they have a good surrounding supporting cast. Gobert is excellent.
Excellent. I don't know. I feel like Gobert's...
I feel like they're versatile enough with their lineups to be able to match up with pretty much any team, well-coached. I mean, they just play good basketball.
I don't trust them in the postseason. I don't trust them in the
postseason. I do think the L.A. teams are probably going to be the ones in the conversation, though, for sure. I mean, the Clippers, they still have Kawhi and Paul George. And they've been pretty much under the radar.
Yeah, I was about to say,
people haven't talked
about
them
a lot,
lately because, yeah, people are so amazed at what the Jazz and the Suns are doing. People talk about the Lakers' injuries and Denver, you know, having an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Clippers have been under the radar, cruising there. They're in the 4th spot. They're tied with Denver. They can sneak up to 3 again and possibly get us that first round matchup against the Lakers. But Lakers, you know, also real close with Dallas there. Between the 5 and 6, they are tied right now with Dallas having the tiebreaker. But lots of these little seed matchups, you know, coming down the stretch here are tight as we get towards the end of the season. The West seems kind of open. It does seem like it's possible.
Who would you bet on if you had to just pick one team as your clear-cut favorite in the West? I'm assuming you guys are all taking the Nets in the East, correct?
Oh, no, those Hawks looking nice, boy. Wow. We were able to play with the Nets with Lloyd Pierce as a coach. You think I'm scared with Nate McMillan as my coach now?
Beat them four times in 2 weeks. A little different.
East champions, the Miami Heat.
Are they even in the playoffs right now?
They're built for the playoffs.
They may be in that playing game.
They're in the playing game right now.
That's cute. So if they make it out the playing game, maybe. I'm not
have to take on Buzz City. Buzz!
City. I'm not penciling in Miami for anything.
We'll see. They're built for a bubble. I don't know if they're built for the actual playoffs. They might be built for a bubble.
If the Nets can get kind of healthy, yeah, I think the Nets kind of have to be the favorite there. Yeah. I think Philly, you know, obviously is really good too, especially if they have home court throughout the playoffs. They've been so great at home.
I mean, Milwaukee did beat the Nets, what, twice, right, this week? They beat them, what, Sunday and yesterday?
So I think the Nets are beatable. I think they are beatable because they haven't really had a lot of time to mesh all those guys together, and I think that is a factor. Harden says he's feeling better and, you know, he's, you know, doing some more on-court stuff. So he may just, you know, chill out till the playoffs at this point or maybe get, like, one game under his belt to make sure, you know, he's still got a little bit. But same thing with, like, LeBron over there for the Lakers. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't sleep on Philly at all with their, you know, they're so good at home, man. It's nuts how well they play there. But, yeah. I do, man. The Hawks. They make me. They look good at times, man. Sometimes they look so good, like nights like last night.
Wait
but
till they crush you.
I'm gonna hate to see it. Actually, Cam.
Actually, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna be sad when they crush you too. Kind of.
I think they can go.
I don't have any crazy expectations.
It's gonna
like,
make me
I think
so,
going into this
so
year,
you'll be pretty disappointed
so
if they don't get out of the first round.
I think they'll get out of the first round. Anything past that, like even really winning a first round series is technically a perk. Going into this year, the goal was just to make playoffs.
Like I can't wait to see John get crushed, but then simultaneously make excuses.
I think they'll get out the first round. I think they'll be fine on that aspect. Anything besides that is just a bonus. Because, yeah, they didn't have the expectations. Like, they weren't supposed to go to a conference finals this year. Stuff like that. Like, so if something like that happened, boom, awesome. I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon. I'm really excited about this team's future. But at the same time, yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, it would suck. But, like, yeah, wasn't really expecting it. So I'm just trying to enjoy the ride. I'm having fun with it. I'm enjoying it. It's nice to have a team winning, you know. It's good to see that a little bit. So they're being fun this year. Shout out to Nate McMillan saving our season. Jeez Louise, man. Like, oof, talk about a turnaround. That's insane. I wish he had more time so he'd be better in the Coach of the Year conversation because he's earning it, man. He is earning it with what he's doing out there. But
who we have as Coach of the Year? We giving to Thibodeau out in New York with the Knicks? Or
I think he's definitely in the conversation.
Yeah, so you got to throw in Monty Williams with the Suns and Quinn Snyder.
Yeah,
I guess
I think Quinn Snyder, Monty Williams, and the Knicks.
I give it to Thibodeau.
Thibodeau. I mean, the Knicks.
Monty a close second.
Right.
Just because, I mean,
the expectation
the
with
Knicks,
the Knicks
into the playoffs is absurd.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
they have exceeded expectations, for sure.
The Suns have also, I mean, to go from one of the worst teams in the West to a two potential one seed, like battling for a one seed, it's pretty dramatic turnaround.
I mean, both of those two guys are more deserving than almost any candidate is any given year.
I agree.
Yeah, no, there are some really good cases for Coach of the Year this year,
do
for
co-champions?
Sure. I mean, yeah, you're maybe.
Have they not done that before for, like, MVP?
I think they have.
Yeah, or, like, for
so, I mean, it's definitely something that's possible. I'm not sure if it will actually, you know, come to fruition on that front. But, yeah, there are some really good candidates for Coach of the Year this year. It's pretty impressive what some of these guys have done with their programs and organizations. But, yeah, super tight races coming down the stretch here. Got some more NBA action tonight, of course. Hawks playing a back-to-back. Got the Pacers. Should handle business there. Buzz City. Your boys got the Bulls
Buzz
tonight.
Buzz. Need to win
that game. Yep. Nets Mavs. Could be an entertaining game. At least should be some points on the board there. Mm-hmm. Raptors, Wizards. Wizards still trying to keep their pretty hot streak going against them. Grizzlies playing the back-to-back as well. Pay the Pistons. So that's a nice little team to get off a back-to-back when you especially had a high-scoring game like last night. Could probably take it a little easier against the Pistons. You all right
Did
over
you get
there?
Bit?
Dude, a tick was just like dropped out of the sky and fell onto my arm.
What'd you do with it?
I flicked it.
Flicked it over towards me?
No,
what are you doing, Chuck?
Curtain.
You know, you're supposed to actually
sit here.
Supposed Apparently, to pick those up and, like, flush them down the toilet.
I don't want
to
mess with it.
Is it burn them? Is that you burn ticks?
That's how you, like, get them off, or I think. If you get heat, they'll, like, release if they're, like, biting, you know? Because if you squeeze them, it just, you know, it doesn't
work
the same way.
Now I'm freaked out. Now I'm uncomfortable. Ticks running around this place.
Check your
Charlie just attracted all these bugs in here today. What's he doing?
Yeah, really? What are you doing?
Thunder Warriors tonight. Warriors trying to handle business. Lakers Clippers tonight.
Hey-o.
Potential first round matchup.
Yeah, potential first round or Western Conference. We're not really sure.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the other.
One, but way it's trending, they could definitely end up first round. So, yeah, some big games as far as playoff implications there. That's big. Like we talked about, Lakers, Mavericks are tied in the standings right now. So if Lakers win, Mavs lose, something like that,
LeBron's
it could fluctuate
still out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, even if the Lakers lose, stuff like that, I think they're pretty safe as far as, you know, they're not going to drop out the playoffs or anything. But they could still slide back to that seventh spot and be in the play-in game. Portland is only half a game behind them after their win last night. So, yeah, if the Lakers take an L there, they are getting dangerously close to being back in that play-in game situation. And, you know, LeBron doesn't like that. LeBron doesn't want to be
of
in the
course.
Play-in.
Of course.
He's going to whine about his ankle. Oh, no, my ankle got to play three more games. He'll be all right. He'll be fine. He's supposed to be this machine here. What happened to his, you know, unprecedented health care regime he does, rocking out. He should be good to go, you would think. So, but lots of playoff implications, you know, obviously at this point in the season. You said the Nets are your favorite. Who did you say your favorite out of the West?
Hard to pick against the Lakers. You're right, Chuck. Fully healthy. Yeah, I'd say Lakers.
Lakers-Nets.
Lakers-Nets finals. That's what y'all are locking in for now. Okay. Okay. Very, very, very possible. But, yeah, we'll see how it plays out tonight. We'll see what really goes on
give
there.
Give me Warriors-Wizards.
I mean, just imagine that series, how fun it'd be. 130 to 140
imagine,
every
yeah,
game.
The overs that you could bet in a series.
300.
Honestly, though, are the Nets a lock, though? Just because, like.
I don't think anyone's a lock.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like the Nets feel like a pretty decent.
I don't think they're even an overwhelming favorite.
You don't think so?
I just think they're. Yeah, they're a favorite.
Well, I was going to say, like, chemistry issues, right? Isn't there a stat where...
It's similar to how we expect the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Like, I'd say they're that kind of favorite.
Probably going to get there, is what you're saying.
Not like a Cavs when LeBron was there, when they were playing the Warriors every year. Like, not that level of favorite, but like a Chiefs and the AFC level of favorite.
Checking out FanDuel, Nets are the favorite to win the East at -110. Lakers are the favorite to win the West at +200. So they're a little, obviously,
Lakers
less confident in the Lakers.
That's good value right
that
there.
That is. You know, that really is.
I'm going to go hop Clippers, on that immediately.
Clippers right behind them at +260, followed by the Jazz and Suns. In the East, yeah, it was Nets' favorite. Bucks in second at +330. Sixers at +390. Hawks at +3,600. 3,600,
wow.
Man. Ooh, wee.
Bucks over the Nets. Or, excuse me, Bucks over the 76ers,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
I am annoyed that the Heat are still the fourth best odds to win the East.
You're
really? Throwing money down the drain if you
annoyed.
Bet on that.
You're
throwing money down the drain if you bet on that.
Reigning East champions. Where were you guys last year? Oh, you weren't even in the bubble?
We were practicing to be above
you
in
the
standings
bubble,
this year. That's
and
what
we won
were
the
doing.
East?
We were handling business to be... better than y'all this year. And look what
oh,
happened.
Oh,
it worked.
No. Oh, wow. You finished. Maybe you might
oh, wow. You didn't win
a
championship. Neither did we. We both ended up on the couch at the end of the year. Glad that worked out for you.
We got screwed.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is?
If we stayed healthy, we won that. We would have won that finals.
Oh, okay.
Not to mention the officiating was horrendous.
Yeah, bring up officiating.
Lots of excuses over there in Miami. Miami still got a little LeBron tendency, huh? Got the whining didn't leave you, huh? He left that behind for you? But, yeah, looking forward to the NBA down the stretch here, but we'll change gears a little bit, heading into hour three here. Hit the headlines, got this or that. Hayden had to get out of here a little early, but I got the topics he provided, stuff like that, so we'll handle this or that at 2:30, of course. But stick with us on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the